Parks Commission meeting. Let's first start with roll call. Munoz? Absent. Excused absence. Crawley? Excused absence. Sedaris?
Present.
Ayub?
Present.
Bates?
Present.
And Hale's here. So let's start off with any commissioner reports and announcements. I'll do a quick announcement that this upcoming weekend is the, well, Harbor Festival, of course, which we all probably know of, but also the Rock to Rock Run, which is a five-mile run that starts at the Rock and goes out to basically just a little bit north of A Beach, to that other rock cluster and back. And the start time for the race is 8:30 a.m. You can sign up online until Thursday at active.com and then sign up that morning. And the proceeds from that race will go to support the community, Morro Bay Community Foundation, that funds scholarships for youth in our area. So I just want to raise awareness on that. Are there any other announcements?
I do have one announcement, if I can make that. I'm just in my head realizing when our next meeting would be in October and understanding that part of the civic landscape improvement program that's happening at the community center and the library program room and the surroundings at City Hall. We'll be doing a major tree planting and vegetation planting at the sites on October the 23rd. It is a huge volunteer a request of the community to come out and help plant a variety of trees. They're going to be in conjunction with the tree committee and there's various other groups in the community that are coming forth. I'm not too sure which ones have committed so far. But if you want to volunteer, we'll have some flyers out and some posters are going out. But right now you can call Recreation and Parks Department at 772-6278. Again, that's October 23rd. Major tree planting. We have 100 trees that we're getting from the state program. So I can certainly elaborate on that.
A few other items to get through. If anyone wishes to speak on a topic, though, other than public hearing this evening, please feel free to come up to the podium, and comments are generally limited to 3 minutes. So it looks like we have no public comment at this time. So we'll close that and move on to item A, consent calendar. And so I'd be looking for commissioners to indicate whether you'd like to pull any of our items. We have A1, which is approval of our minutes from our August 24th meeting. A2 is our citizens' reports and correspondence, which is in our packet. A3, youth services summary, sports and fitness summary, and facility and park use summary for August, and then a couple June and July dates. And then A4 is our recreation and park department status report. And so I think we have...
May I comment, please, mm-hmm. Chair? Chair Hale, thank you very much. Item A3, facilities and parks, it was in your packet to be delivered today. That is not available for your meeting tonight. And staff apologizes with resources and time. We're limited for us to get those in your packet. We will have a complete summary of all those months at your next meeting. Thank you.
Okay. So is there any items under A1, A2, or A4 we want to pull for discussion?
Make a motion to put A1, A2, A3, and A4 for file.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, so we're ahead of schedule, and we can begin our public hearing. The Recreation and Park Department staff will present the staff report and recommendation and then respond to questions from the commissioners.
Good. Thank you, Chair Hale. Good evening, Commission. B1 is an item brought to you by the request of City Council. If you recall, back in the processing of the permits and whatnot to build the dog park at Del Mar, we had a review of 2 years was a condition from the Planning Commission. We're not quite into a complete year right now, but as you said, see in the report that it was requested at a City Council meeting, and they felt that a sooner review would be appropriate. So here we are this evening. The dog park out of Del Mar, actually the dog park concept started probably 10 years or more ago. So it's been in the works for a while. And I won't belabor this too much on history because we know there's quite a bit of history with the dog park. And it's gone through various phases. Once the city council has indicated that the dog park was a priority, obviously staff went to work looking for a suitable location. Locations are very hard to come by, and as far as, you know, a landlocked city like we are. So everywhere that was presented wasn't suitable. So it was very difficult to get the dog park up and running. There wasn't a whole lot of cohesiveness, if you'd say. It was a lot of different interested parties. So as we worked through that, the community came forth and said, hey, we want to have a public area use permit to use Delta. Council offered them that area, which the Doggy Social was happening, as a temporary spot. The Morro Bay Pups came back and said, really, it's not a real suitable spot for us to put all of our energy and money and resources into a temporary spot. Their campaign was based on a permanent dog park. Those donors were looking for a permanent dog park. So as their interest grew and their membership grew, they decided that they came back with a different plan, actually, to the city. And the city said, hey, we like this plan. Let's go for it again. And so we went for it again. And I say went for it as far as public hearings and planning commission and council and so forth. And it was agreed that the council at that time was looking for community partners. And in order to get a lot of the work and projects done in the city, community partnerships is vital. And as we know, through the history of dog parks, and there's been studies that if you don't have a community group out there that's supporting the dog park, the chances of success decline greatly. So we knew that we needed a partner, and the Morro Bay Pups were ideal. So we created an MOU that outlined our relationship with the community group Morro Bay Pups, and that was for the design and the planning permits to get a dog park. Because if you recall, it took an amendment to the master plan at Del Mar, and then it took the various public hearings, and we had a CEQA, and we had several other things that we had to accomplish before they could start construction. And after the planning phase and the permits were in hand, then the Morro Bay Pups went into another MOU with us, Memorandum of Understanding, for construction and maintenance and operation of the dog park. And that's where we're at right now. We're reviewing the dog park, and I wanted to say that I've been saying dog park, but I really would like to say Jody, G, and Amy Family Dog Park, but it's a mouthful every time. So if I could just use dog park this evening, but the Jody, G, and Amy Family Dog Park is the official title for the off-leash dog area at Del Mar. So the maintenance for the dog park is a split up between the city and the Morro Bay Pups, as outlined in our MOU for construction. And I know you all should have a copy of that. I try to put a few things in your packet, and I'll kind of reference them as we go through this report. So in reviewing this MOU and the performance of this MOU for the city and the Morro Bay Pups, I think is essential for tonight's meeting. I'm sure there'll be more discussion on other items. So the maintenance has been performed by the Morro Bay Pups. What they do is they are in charge of the maintenance and repair of the entrance structure, the kiosk that's out there, other similar amenities that are at the Jody G. and Amy Family Dog Park. Additional responsibilities are monitoring the condition of the park, properly removing any dog waste or litter, and a staff has observed the Morro Bay Pups doing all of those, exceeding any of our expectations as far as adding pups. So it isn't the primary for the staff. A lot of the burden, I would say burden, the responsibility of the dog park is on the Morro Bay Pups. Very minimal expenditures from city staff and city resources that have gone into this. The Morro Bay Pups also assist the department in enforcing the rules. and disseminating information to those who attend, and that's super essential. We don't have bodies out there that park 24/7. So having more RBA pups out there helping us disseminate information to the attendees is very important. Several times on the Morro Bay Pups and the city have met. We've discussed rules. We've discussed implementation of educational program. We've talked about quite a few things on various meetings. The education program that the Morro Bay Pups have put together consists of docents, which is not part of the requirement, but they felt that it would be advantageous to bring docents out there. Basically, they're board members, but other members can be as well. And they're pretty much dog park ambassadors. They're out there, and they've got name tags that are very official. They're interacting with attendees. They're interacting with people that are going to the dog park or coming from. A lot of the stories I hear that they're meeting people in the parking lot. They're meeting all over the place, and they're getting feedback and engaging them in how the dog park operates.
Interrupt you for just a quick second.
Certainly.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time hearing you because I can hear people out in that hallway.
Need to close the door?
The control room.
Okay. Yeah. Could I get someone to close the door over here for us, please?
It's actually that door.
Thank you.
There.
Yeah, it must be this black door right here.
Let's close it.
No, that one's fine.
Thanks. Sorry. Sorry.
Certainly. Their informational educational program continues. They have put out flyers, posters, and signs. They've created these to help to be a good neighbor. There have been complaints, and I'm going to be getting into that in a moment. But they put out some flyers. They are attempting to partner with the high school to recruit students to come out and volunteer at the Jody Giannini Family Dog Park for required community service work that they may have. So that was an exciting program, and hopefully that'll kick into gear and they'll be successful in getting some of the students out there. When it comes to communicating to the public, to either staff or the public, I have to make mention of Mary Stollard, the president of the Morro Bay Pups, has done an outstanding job. I usually get an email or two each week on something that's happening at the park. And sometimes I get the emails on Saturdays and Sundays, which is wonderful. Thanks, Mary. But it's important to have a liaison like Mary, the president, to come in and actually send emails and talk to me and call me up and come in and tell me not just all the good things and the accolades that they've been receiving, but also the complaints, any incidents that have occurred. So we're very aware of what's happening at the dog park, and communication is definitely a key to success here. And the Morro Bay Pups have stepped up. And you'll see all those addresses and their concerns. And their concerns basically are that they're identifying the noise that's coming from the dog park as a public nuisance. It's a big concern in Island Street residents, the ones who have signed that, and there's other ones that I brought forth tonight to you with the citizens report form. There's two of them in there, and those are from residents of Island Street as well. The noises coming from the park include barking, obviously fighting, and handlers yelling at their dogs. And that's something that you don't usually you think of dog parks, that the dogs are yelling or barking or fighting, but also the handlers are creating a lot of noise as well. The residents are claiming that these types of noises exist. They existed during the temporary use, and I thought that was interesting to hear that the doggy social had some noise that was created. But the residents are illustrating and documenting that there was noise before, and now it has increased. Now, the degree of how it increased is something we'll probably want to discuss this evening. The reports that I have read from other groups that most of the times the noise does raise, but it's not a significant amount. And that's something that we want to try to nail down tonight, how significant has the noise increased in that area. I've met with two of the residents of Island Street, Jeannie McIntosh and Mike Anderson, on several occasions regarding the noise. All the other conditions, I would imagine, are satisfactory if the only one comes up is noise. So sanitation and maintenance and safety and those kind of things are being adhered to. But the noise apparently is a common factor in all the concerns that I've been receiving. Major correspondence from staff that I've received have been a lot of accolades regarding the Joni G. Nini Family Dog Park. Most people that go to the dog park share the enjoyment that they and their dogs experience. They say how wonderful it is to have their dog off the leash, how safe, how nice the trees and the turf are. And I've included the most recent emails in your packet. And I had quite a few of them, and I didn't put them all in there. But there's a few for you to go through and understand. Because there was some idea that we were going to close the park down. And I think that some folks, you know, it always strikes a nerve when something like that is talked about. So the onslaught of emails came in full support. So there are support letters, and there are citizens' complaint forms and suggestion forms, mostly from Island Street residents. And I will conclude to say that entities like the city and the Morro Bay Pups that are operating off-leash dog parks will have issues of concern from time to time. And how we react as stewards of this park is critical. It's critical for right now, and it's critical for the longevity of the dog park. The Jody Giannini Family Dog Park has been in the making for like 10 years plus, and staff has hosted many public hearings, and there was major opposition to the dog park in its current location when it was first proposed by as many as possible. And I would just say that my last conclusion is I was going through guidelines for establishing and maintaining a successful off-leash dog park put out by the Program of Veterinary and Behavioral Medicine, UC Davis. And their guidelines are quite interesting. And like I said earlier in my report, that the support of a community group like the Morro Bay Pups is essential for the success of an off-leash dog park. I'd like, with the direction of council, that we would continue our relationship with the Morro Bay Pups. I haven't seen any deficits that have occurred in our agreement. As I outlined, it's pretty simple and it's pretty straightforward as far as what they're going to be doing out there as far as the maintenance. They've done the construction, now it's the maintenance and operations, and they've definitely performed beyond our expectations in those areas. Though it hasn't been a full 2 years for review, right now it's going rather well. This particular study does address noise and has some solutions to noise, and I would throw that out to open the discussion as I go back to commish. If dog park was to be located immediately adjacent to a residential property line, creating sound buffers like plants, fencings, and maybe earth berms would be appropriate. So that may be considered a solution if we felt we needed to get there tonight. And also would be to establish, you know, move the heaviest uses of the park away from the most adjacent property line. And that would be difficult to do. So some of the solutions that they have here, the two, mostly would be a sound barrier that we may want to consider as we go through some of our topics. The other things are sanitation, location, maintenance, and substrate, and we've addressed all those along with the rules as well. So we're pretty much on track as far as on our way to a successful off-leash dog area, as outlined by some of the experts and some of the other folks that we've talked to that manage other dog parks. So I would want to conclude my staff report with that and turn it over to the commission for any questions.
You guys have any questions? Okay. I have one just thought here. There is a letter addressed to the commission with, again, signatures from a number of residents on Island Street. And there's a couple items that this community of people are asking for. Do you want to, I mean, would it make sense to identify and review what the Island Street residents have asked for regarding the park? In other words, I think it's, if we're reading this right, it's not a characterization of a request to shut the dog park down. It's to say we'd like to see some changes that can make the dog park be successful and have a quiet neighborhood. Would it make sense to outline what was asked for, or have these items been addressed, I guess, is my question.
If you'd like to just identify them, and if we have any follow-up questions on something, anything that we've done in the
action, the brochures at Atascadero State Beach Campground are totally inappropriate. So these are the three items that were outlined as requests from the neighbors of Island Street that signed this, and I guess one question is, have any of those items been addressed or discussed? At this point, I'm not sure exactly when this letter was written or if anything had occurred out of that.
I have some, a problem
some,
with
some the of the items have three. Been addressed. I'll answer. I'll certainly address number three as well, if you'd like.
Okay.
As far as the no parking, there has been a flyer that was, I put that in your packet as well. There was a flyer that was posted. It was created by the Morro Bay Pups. In hopes that they could communicate with the attendees to reduce dog barking. They've got a couple of dogs dancing in the front, and it's posted at the front. And it's not a large sign, but I think it's an attempt to say, hey, this is the direction we're going to try to help with. Let them dance, let them play, but please respect the members and the neighbors. Don't allow your dog to bark excessively. So I think that this is an attempt to say, hey, we know there's barking going on. We hear what the Island Street people are saying. Let's attempt something. And I think whether this has been successful or not, I couldn't say. But it was certainly an attempt on their behalf to put the word out. And obviously the docents are as well addressing the issue of noise when folks come in. And they try to, I recall probably three or four different emails that have come through with incidences that have been cited that a docent or a member of the Morro Bay Pups has addressed somebody who's out there, an attendee with a dog that's barking or fighting, and has addressed them directly and asking them either to stop, remove the dog, or try a different technique, maybe unleashing the dog and moving them to another area until they settle down and can play again. So there's been that interaction with the Morro Bay Pups. The attendance while open, our MOU with the Morro Bay Pups specifically says that nothing in this requires the Morro Bay Pups to provide daily presence of a member or a volunteer to monitor the dog park, supervise the use, or enforce the rules of operations, or for any other purpose. So we're not requiring to be out there every day. Now, I would say that they probably are out there every day, probably somebody in the morning and the evening, and I'm hoping that as public comment comes up, that a member of the Pups or the board members will let us know how active and they are on a daily basis. But currently we have no obligation to have them out there on a daily basis. And number three, you can go round and round as far as, is it a tourist attraction? I know there were some comments made earlier in the processing that were, well, if we build this, we could attract people into town that might be passing through. Let's say, oh, hey, it's a dog-friendly town. They've got a dog park. Next thing you know, they're there with their small dog because usually small dogs aren't particularly fond of the beach, and a lot of the bigger dogs will go down there. Smaller dogs, they want to keep them clean, and dog parks, and what that has, grass is a nice spot for that. So to bring in folks that are visiting was certainly one idea. I think, is it being promoted as, the spot to be in a tourist attraction? I might would stop there.
I'd like to get one thing straight. The hours of operation are 8 a.m. till dusk Monday through Friday and 9 a.m. Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. till dusk?
No, we don't have additional hours for weekend.
Oh, okay. Perhaps that's something we could look at, compromise.
I don't know what the purpose of those hours would be to reducing the hours of the dog park. If you're saying instead of 8 to 9.
Yeah, open it later on Saturday and Sunday. I don't know.
Okay.
Just a suggestion. This complaint here says there was dogs in there barking at 7:15 in the morning. So, I mean, at that point, shouldn't the citizen call the police and have the person ticketed?
That's certainly an option. It's an option anytime someone's violating city ordinance. Dogs off the leash in any park, actually
right.
in any area of the city, is against the law. So if you had it, if you saw a dog off the leash, you certainly could be a citizen to report that to the Morbay Police.
Right. I'm sure the police department's pretty busy and they're not out actually looking for running dogs and barking, but maybe if they had a little bit of presence, people would mind the rules better, you know, even if it was for a short period. Or
it's difficult to go out and catch someone red-handed with a dog off the leash. Here comes a patrolman, and now he's chasing folks with dogs off a leash, where their resources are very limited. And this is a passive enforcement. You know, we're hoping that signs and education will lead people to do the right thing.
Right.
Keep them on a leash. And I would venture to say that since the Jody Giannini Family Dog Park's been in, there has been less dog litter or droppings in the park, Del Mar Park.
That's good.
And there's been less dogs off the leash because there are folks out there, the attendees are becoming educated. And that's important. We put up signs now at Lila Kaiser, keeping all animals off the playing surfaces there. That was a problem. It was a nice fenced-in area, and hopefully we redirected those people to Del Mar.
Okay.
Other questions? Have there been any meetings between the neighborhood residents at Island and the Morbay Pups community as a whole, just to kind of sit down and have some informal discussion or formal on the topic? That
I believe Mary Stallard has called Gene McIntosh and Mike Anderson. So has Elaine Giannini, has said, let's get together, let's see your problem. They either can't make it, and no. And it's not because of us. I have to say that.
We're ready. I'd be happy to respond from the staff's point of view. We have not coordinated a meeting between residents of Island Street and Morbay Pups in the city of Morbay, but we certainly would want, we could look into something like that for maybe more of a constructive direction than getting down to the root. But tonight's meeting does that. That's why this item is brought to you before the two-year review. It's why this item is a public hearing, so we can put everybody in the same room and work out the details, and that's what council has directed us to do.
Great. All right. So I'm going to open the public hearing to public comment. So feel free to step up to the podium and share your thoughts.
But from my own experience, I haven't noticed a great deal of noise coming from dogs that are in the dog park during the time that I visited. Having said that, I think a dog barking is about as natural as children screaming with joy when they play in a park. And I'm sympathetic, too, to those who are bothered by the noise of dogs. I happen to live in a house that is surrounded by 7 dogs, and I happen to live in the major pathway to school and from school, and the dogs bark for those reasons as kids pass back and forth. They bark every time a delivery truck stops. They bark every time an emergency vehicle sounds its siren anywhere in hearing distance. And it is at times annoying to have dogs bark. But that's part of the nature of being a dog. And I wish you luck in figuring out a way to stop dogs from barking. I hope you can minimize it maybe, but stopping it, I don't know. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Don't be shy.
Tell me to whisper if I come too loudly. Okay. I'm going to read you a letter written by Mrs. Bob Ranson to the Morro Bay Parks and Recreation Commission. She says, I've been a homeowner taxpayer in Morro Bay for over 38 years and a pet owner, dog lover most of my life. The Jody Giannini Family Dog Park is a dream come true for many of the pet owners in this community. Years ago, a small group of us started meeting in Dell Park to let our dogs exercise, play and socialize together. Soon others joined us, and we quickly became a large group of responsible pet owners who called ourselves the Del Mar Doggy Social Group. Many deep friendships have resulted in our concerns to maintain the health and social behavior of our beloved pets. We've grieved together when one died and went to the great dog park beyond, and rejoiced when a new pet came to fill that certain void. The dog park seems to fill special needs of the pets and their owners. On a personal note, my husband Bob Ranson and I took possession of an older dog last year. She had been used exclusively as a breeding animal and never learned to play or socialize. Being a bit aloof and withdrawn, what a dramatic change in her personality since the introduction to the dog park. She's developed into a wonderful, warm, loving pet, thanks in part to the regular association she's had with other pets. We're grateful. In the meantime, I want to keep taking my dog to the park, and I'll bet a lot of other old ladies do too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mickey Hooks. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and I'm a recent user of the dog park. So it's, the whole history is really new to me, but what I wanted to say that I didn't hear anyone really address, and I'm sure it has probably been addressed many times, is that when I am there or on my way to the dog park from the parking lot, I live over here on Surf Street, so I drive. There are many, many dogs that are off-leash that are barking very regularly. People play with their dogs, and it's an open area. They throw the dog's toys or whatever. And I know that when I've been there, and others have as well, there's a great frustration because sometimes those dogs that are running loose will come along the fence where the dogs are that are in the dog park, and they get all excited, and so the dogs on the outside want to play with the dogs on the inside, and there's just mayhem. So I would just bring that up as a point. I don't know. It may have been addressed already, but it seems to me that maybe there could be a way with me. I don't know if signage really works, but I have spoken a couple of times to some people who had their dogs off leash, and I've just asked them to put their dog on leash because it makes it difficult for me to handle my dog. So from a selfish perspective, you know, that I would prefer that, but I just thought I'd add that. I have total sympathy for people who live near a lot of barking, and I happen to have a dog that doesn't bark, but I do know I yell at him when I throw a ball for him to chase. So I apologize if that's bothered you guys, but I do think that I like the idea of people sitting down face to face and figuring it out. We are neighbors, and I just think that typically people can work things out when they do sit down, so I would support that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. My name is Stephen Marcatello, and I'd like to make a few comments about dog park noise. To begin with, I'm one of the people who was actually referred to a little bit earlier. I more or less am a docent, although we don't actually have these people officially appointed. I just do it as a volunteer. I often go up to people if their dogs are barking and ask them. I tell them, we have some people on Island Street that are really upset about the barking. Is there any way we could quiet your dog? and a lot of times it works, surprisingly. I'd like to read a few comments from my own I call it dog park noise log. Friday, July 16th, 10:55 to 12 o'clock, quiet, no noise at all from large, not a sound. 5 to 5:30, one dog barked twice. Small dogs barked a small amount, but owners kept them quiet. It's typical. Owners will often catch their dog barking, pull it away, either put it on leash and take it to a different area, or talk to it and tell it to shut up. Monday, July 26, 2 to 3:40 p.m., absolutely quiet, no barking, too quiet. A couple of dog owners left, not enough action. City maintenance guys are working on defective sprinklers. Where was I? Dogs are playing, quiet. Plant grass seed. 4:45 to 5:45, still quiet. A woof or two, quickly quieted by owners. Thursday, July 29th, 5 to 8 dogs in the large dog area, quiet. Some owners left. Not enough action. No barking, romping, or much of anything. Small dog area, quiet as well. Barking dogs, where? Friday, August 6th, some small dog yapping at 5. I talked to the dog's owner, and she shut it up. At 5 p.m., a very loud hot rod engine was started and revved up multiple times in the 300 block of Island Street. Very little barking from the dogs. Sunday, August 8th, 4:45 to 6:45. Many dogs came and went, but only occasional dog barks from the small dog area. At around 6 o'clock, a loud V8 engine was started, revved up, and the tires burned rubber. This repeated at 5 to 10-minute intervals in the 400 block of Island Street. So, I could continue on. I mean, I've got 6 pages of this, but I'd rather simply summarize. It's not as noisy as a lot of people say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm still new with the 3-minute thing, so pardon me while I try to adjust this. I try to give you 3 minutes, and then there's a 1 minute to sum up. That's the yellow light.
Good evening. My name is Mary Stallard. I'm chair of Morro Bay Pups, and it's a pleasure to be here. Just to add to what Steve was said, we do have our little badges that we wear. Steve, did we forget to get you one? Because we'll sure and do that. Oh, okay, good. So anyway, just to add a couple of things. Morro Bay Pups does want to be good neighbors, and we really want to make this work not only for the community and the dog owners and dog lovers, but for the people who live north of the park. And Steve used an example of people taking care of their dog or getting them to quiet down. I had to do that to my dog, who doesn't bark a lot, but she was very unruly about 6 weeks ago. I couldn't catch her. First of all, I had to catch her, and somebody helped me do that. And then got her on a leash, walked her away toward the small dog area, let her calm down, and then she was fine. I would like to add just one other thing about aggressive dogs, because this is something that Stephen has done a lot, as well as the rest of us who are trying to be docents there. Whenever there's a dog that we feel is overly aggressive, we ask them not to come back until their dog is in better control. So we're hoping that we, you know, are answering that question, too, that can be raised about aggressive dog behavior. We've been implementing a lot of the measures that Mr. Woods identified this matter for the entire community, all of us, as well as the folks who are concerned about the dog park noise. So we've been addressing the matter, as I said, for the entire community as well as for the immediate neighborhood north of the dog park. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
My name is Kelly Griley. I'm an Island Street resident for 22 years, and we purchased a lot behind us so that we would have a space for our dogs and for our children. And when the dog park came in, I was opposed to it because my son played in that area for many years. I'm not so opposed to it anymore, but I'm opposed to the noise. And I spend a lot of time, I work at home, I spend a lot of time in my backyard, on my deck. And just this past weekend, I was woken up twice before 8 o'clock due to barking dogs. And I know there's hours, but, you know, just the fellow said, it's not that noisy. Well, you don't live there 24/7 and hear it all the time. And, yeah, we do have neighborhood noise, but when you're, you know, working and you live in a quiet neighborhood, that's not something you want to hear all the time. And it's, you know, I didn't take a log like Jeannie and Mike, my neighbors, but I could. I could have. There's been many times, you know. I'm out there trying to read a book, and it's just constant. And it is the aggressive dogs and the people screaming at them. So frequently, in the last couple weeks, I've frequented the park and, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. Dogs are more dogs than I've ever seen before off-leash. Dog waste at the entrance of the park. And we used to never see that before. And I've owned two dogs the whole time we've lived there. We've walked them through. I was on my bike the other day. I mean, dogs were all over. Had to stop my bike from being knocked over. So, I mean, there are things wrong. And, I mean, I don't know what the solutions are, but, you know, we're taxpayers, too, and we've lived there way, you know, longer than this dog park was proposed for this site. And I just feel like it's a great idea, but in a wrong place. It's there now, and now we have to find a solution for it. And the traffic down our street also is has been an issue. And we have children still that live on the street, and we have lots of men that scream at cars, slow down, you know. It just, so there's more than just noise. There's little other issues. But for us, the noise is just very irritating. And just, it's accelerated, I would say, over the past 4 months. So I just hope that you can help us come to a solution tonight.
Thank you.
I'm Jeannie McIntosh on Island Street, and I want to thank you for putting this on the agenda this evening. And I'm sure that nobody in this room allows their dog to bark on and on and on and on, but there are a lot of dog owners that do. There are owners who have aggressive dogs and can't handle them, and there are people who yell at their dogs to shut up. Again, I'm sure that the kind members of PUPS are dedicated and caring dog. All of these are pleasant sounds. Dogs barking. They are. Dogs barking are not pleasant sounds. Mix in the angry people yelling at their dogs, and suddenly it's just not a fun park anymore. Back when the PUPS members had a temporary permit to run their dogs off-leash in Del Mar Park, we were already hearing the barking and the dog fights and the people yelling at their dogs. We attended meetings and protested against this location for the dog park many, many times. It is just not an appropriate place for a dog park because of its proximity to our neighborhood. So it can be no surprise that we are here once again to tell you that this noise is a problem. We were told that dogs do not bark while they're having fun. Well, I am here to tell you that they do. They most definitely do. And since the permanent dog park has opened and attendance has increased, so has the barking and the fighting and the yelling. We're looking for solutions. Like Kelly said, the park is there. We want some solutions now. If you have a neighbor that has a barking dog, you have the opportunity to talk with them and ask for quiet. If that fails, there's always animal control that can come and issue a citation. So, lacking a neighbor to call, we are coming to you to help us solve these problems. Since the PUPS organization has insisted on Del Mar Park as their dog site, we must insist on it being quiet. Dog parks are a relatively new thing in our area. It seems now that every town has one, but have you noticed that mostly they're out away from neighborhoods? So our problem is unique and new. How do we get along? How do we get along? It's never been tested before. How do the residents keep their peace and quiet that existed long before the dog park was there? And how do the dog owners share joy with their pet without any problems? short of moving the park to a more appropriate location, we would like to see these changes. Number one, since the PUPS organization created this park, they should staff it. The park should be locked until a member opens it and isn't in attendance as long as the park is open. Then it should be locked at the end of the day. Number two, place several large permanent signs alerting visitors that no barking is allowed. The small flyer people are not seeing it, and if they are seeing it, they're not obeying. It's not working. Number three, a sound barrier. Raise the existing fence on the north and west sides to at least 10 feet and install some kind of solid material on it. And I know landscaping material has been mentioned. Number four, ban unneutered male dogs. Five, there are brochures that were talked about that are distributed at the campground. We don't need those. It's bad city planning and has resulted in citizen fighting citizen. The PUPS members are here for the opportunity to play with their dogs off leash. We are here to reclaim the peace and quiet that we had before the dog park moved in. Parks should enhance the surrounding areas and increase property values. Please, I am asking you, I am even begging you, please recommend to the City Council that these changes be made. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Elaine Giannini, and I am a board member of the Morro Bay PUPS. I just want to clarify a couple issues. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name, and I don't have my glasses. But as far as the hours of the park, sir, I just wanted to establish that the City Council set those hours for us. I just wanted to clarify that, and when you brought it back for discussion, that the City Council was the one that had established those hours, and we agreed that that was not a problem. One of the issues that Ms. McIntosh brought up was that no other parks were in residential areas, and I have to beg to differ with her on that issue. Two of the newest parks that have been established, Templeton and Vineyard Dog Park, is right next to a residential area. They're right across the street. There's a street and a new subdivision of homes all around it. And also Elm Street in Aurora Grande, one of the newest dog parks, is in a residential area. So I wanted to clarify that also. One other issue that I thought was important to bring up, and I too want to be able to work this all out as our group does. We appreciate everything that Mr. Woods has done to coordinate the efforts between ourselves and the Parks and Rec and the City Council. I think we've all worked together very well. There's been lots of communication, a lot of hours spent to make this viable for everyone. But one issue I wanted to bring up was that one of the people who signed the petition, the Island Street petition about the barking dogs, is someone I know personally, and they allow their dog to run loose. On our grand opening, the dog was actually running loose in the park, and he actually came looking for the dog, and we mentioned something about keeping the dog on a leash, and he was one of the people that signed the petition about the noise of the barking dogs. Well, how does he know it is not his dog that is barking, because his dog's running loose? Several years ago, I had seen him, and I said, where's your dog? And he goes, I've had him 9 years, and he keeps running away. And he said, they picked him up, and I'm not going to go get him. That's not how I feel about my dogs. I control my dogs. They're on a leash. They're in a fenced yard. I'm in control. Everyone has to keep their dogs under control, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is George Bomley. I use a dog park quite frequently. I have a small dog, and he's very intimidated by the large dog, so he really enjoys having the split. That's been a great thing for really all the small dogs that I've seen. Huge dog lover, but I totally sympathize with what has happened on Island Street. I think I liken it to, we all like to go to Disneyland, but you don't want to live next door to it. So I understand the issue. I don't think we should be discounting their concern. Any of us really should be. If they hear it, if it bothers them, it bothers them. We don't live there. How do we know? but I do think I have watched the people in the dog park take tremendous action to control their dogs. I've watched this over the past year. It did start out that they were not aware of it, maybe not concerned, but maybe a little bit like a parent who doesn't hear their own kids screaming or think it's cute. It's changed a lot. I have watched them pick up their dogs and cradle them until they stop. I've watched them go over and hold them steady. I've watched them leave with their dogs. I've watched other people say, would you please quiet your dog? They never did that before. So I think there is an awareness. I do think they're trying. I don't think you can stop a dog from barking any more than you can stop a child from screaming or laughing. But one recommendation I might have constructively is there's noise ordinance around. There are ways to quantify bothersome noise levels. They do that around airports. They do that. I guess they've got a law now about playing your radios too loud in your car. I would think there'd be some way that we could determine if there is an abundance of barking at certain points around the periphery of the park. If they exceed those noise levels, maybe we should consider something. If they don't, then maybe we just have a normal situation we can't control much more than we are. But I love the dog park, and I'm really thankful you supported us to put it in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mike Anderson, one of the mean guys from Island Street. I have also got a log that I submitted to the council. It goes from February of this year to June of this year. 17 pages. I'd be here all night if I read this off to you. I'm not going to do that, but, you know, there are times when it's quiet, and we look at each other and we go, oh, thank God, finally, it's quiet. I'm not going to come up here and say it. They're barking 24 hours a day, but there's a serious barking issue. I'll get back to my prepared statement, though. First of all, thank you for having us tonight. And I'm actually here for the third time in front of the Rexham Park Commission. The barking, the fighting, and the yelling, directing the sound directly towards our homes. If I were lost in the woods and in distress, I'd go to the top of a hill so I could be heard most effectively. And that is exactly the scenario that's happening at the park. My home and six others are within 200 feet of the dog park. As I mentioned last time I was here, that 200 feet is from the corner of the parking lot to the corner of the parking lot back there. And if you take a look at that when you go to your car tonight, you can get an idea of how close we are. You can't really see our houses from the park because there's so many trees and stuff in the way. There's six of us within 200 feet. There's 16 properties within 300 feet of the park. There's no other dog park in our area, except for, I guess, Arroyo Grande, that's so close to homes. Once again, I'm not against dogs. I'm not against the pups. I'm not really against the dog park. I go over there. I look at it. It's well done. It's people over there are having a good time. Most of the time, it's okay. But just a couple Saturdays ago, My wife and I were both awakened by three dogs barking at 7:15 Saturday morning. The park opens on the weekends at 9 o'clock, by the way. It's 8 to sunset during the week. It's 9 to sunset during the weekend. There's a sign right on the door of the thing. One of the signs that doesn't get read. So it's just an example of the disregard for any signage or self-regulation that's allowed at the park. It's just kind of a free-for-all. It'd be a wonderful world if everyone just followed the signs, but it's just not working out that way. This Del Mar Dog Park has made the entire Del Mar Park into a dog magnet, and some of the people who visit can be really clueless. We clearly need more rules and enforcement, and I'd like to restate the improvements we have in mind. Keep the park locked.
If we can keep it relatively...
Just about done. Keep the park locked until a PEPS member opens it. Large permanent signage. The little sign up there now is a joke. It's this big. The part that says no barking is this big. It's not a sign. It's a joke. Stop advertising the park in the semi-annual review. So thanks again for your time, and I look forward to working with you and you guys in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Ann Calhoun. I live in Los Osos. I wasn't going to speak tonight because this is a Morro Bay issue. I'm on the board of Slow for Pups. That is the group that started the very first off-leash dog park at El Chorro Regional Park. And this weekend we're going to have our 9th anniversary celebration, Sunday from 10 to 2. You're all invited. One of the things that became very clear is whether any of us board members are there or not, because that becomes my dog park, and I want to make sure that somebody isn't goofing it up for me and everybody else. And that way you can encourage users to learn the rules, to speak up to other dog people, and if necessary, if a dog's just out of control, ask him to leave. He has to leave. That's it. One thing that did concern me is that what I was hearing was that there seems to be a lot of outside dogs running around outside the park in the park, in the outside areas of the park. And the total park is not fenced or locked, so I don't know what kind of policing goes on in the larger area. If people just run their dogs loose there, that really has got to be an enforcement issue, and the word has to get out that you've got to keep your dog leashed and under control outside the area and only allow the dog to run loose inside the fenced area of the park, because that certainly seems like it's causing some problems too with people not picking up their waste and so forth. So establishing control and rules for the entire park, I think, would also be helpful. And I certainly hope the groups can sit down and have a palaver and work out any issues, and then see if, as time goes on, more and more users take responsibility for that park in addition to the board members. And so it becomes their park, and they look out for it and look out for each other and tell everybody to mind their manners. So hopefully that's a kind of growing sort of things that happens as the park is used and more people become familiar with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else care to speak this evening? Okay, so I will close the public hearing. Thank you all very much for your contributions tonight. Obviously, this is a sensitive topic, and there was a lot of great points of view, and it really sounds like there's interest to come together and try to make the dog park a success and take care of our friends and neighbors on Island Street. So we're going to move to item B1, which is review of the dog park operations and MOU with the Morro Bay Pups. Pardon? We're at B1.
We're still on B1.
Yes, we are in B1.
Okay. So typically when it comes back to, if you've got questions regarding any of the public comments, you can either ask someone to come back up to the microphone, or you can direct those questions to me. I'd be happy to try to answer any of them that might have come up during the public comment period.
Great. Does anyone have questions for anyone who spoke this evening?
I'd like to know if Jeannie McIntosh and Mr. Anderson would like to get together with us and Joe Woods and decide when to have a meeting and see how can we work this out? Because I think we're trying to do everything within our power to do it. I do know that a lot of people that come to Del Mar Park do not use the dog park. They will let their dog...
You're sitting on the commission, and you're not acting as a Recreation Parks commissioner this evening, not as Morbay Pups board member. So when you ask me to set up a meeting, or ask Jeannie McIntosh and Mike Anderson to come meet with us, are you meaning the Recreation Parks commission? Or are you meaning the Morbay Pups?
No.
And right now, so the commission, we do that in the public hearing, but if there's going to be a side meeting, if the commission would like to direct me to set up a meeting with the pups and any interested party from Island Street, I'd be happy to take that into consideration.
Yes, that's what I was asking for.
Okay, I thought you were. I mean, I just wanted to get some clarification from those who don't know all of the hats that you wear in your life.
No, okay. It was just...
Okay, do we have other questions for any of the people who spoke tonight? Okay. So I think at this point we have some dialogue around what we would like to recommend and direct staff to do at this point based on the feedback we heard tonight. And thank you for putting together a really thorough package. Sure. I know you have a lot of extra responsibilities on your plate and did a good job of giving us a lot of good material and background material to refresh our memories on some of the background and some of the current comments and recommendations. So maybe we can, I mean, I'm open to, if anyone has any thoughts on what you have concluded this evening and what you might offer up as some next steps, I think that we should start there.
Yeah, I have some suggestions. I mean, other than educating the dog owners, which obviously some need some more education than others, I was wondering if it would be feasible to talk to the police department. I know they have volunteers. Perhaps if those people monitored the park a little bit, people take it more seriously. I don't know what the rules are per se, but I suppose you could ban a dog, and you could tell an owner, you know, if your dog's uncontrollable, you know, you could be banned from using this facility. We could look at the hours again to make sure that the hours are appropriate, and we could look to see if perhaps planting some trees or modifying the fence in some way could make it a better sound barrier, or make a better sound barrier. That's basically what I have. You know, I'm not sure how animal control works. I don't think they actually actively patrol. I think they only react to complaints. But I would suggest that if somebody's using the dog park or somebody's in a public place at 7:15 in the morning, you know, that you call the appropriate authority and have those people cited. Because if, you know, you don't, then you're condoning that behavior and they'll just keep doing it. So, I mean, if you see something totally inappropriate, you have to take steps. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. And I think the idea we would ultimately try to come up with a cohesive set of recommendations that we would put forth. So, I mean, I think this is a great time to just kind of brainstorm and share everybody's individual input, and then maybe we kind of come together to make a set of recommendations, right? Okay. So you're up.
It sounds like there's a lot of activity going on outside the dog park that's not helping the situation out there with other dogs off leash. I'm a dog owner, and I know if my dog is not on a leash and there's other dogs there, it's very distracting for dogs to know what they should be doing or barking or not barking. Definitely doing some. It sounds like there's a lot of activity out there, and it seems like it's maybe growing to a point where we need to kind of nip these issues in the bud of having dogs running around that doesn't seem right, and also, you know, getting some enforcement out there that's coming from an enforcement, not a volunteer effort.
Okay. Yeah, I would add, too, that I think the first step would be to get the groups together and walk through the different suggestions. There's a lot of great ideas shared tonight, and a lot of them are, I would say, I mean, there's a number of these that look really interesting to go explore. I mean, the sound barrier, ways to do that, more permanent signage, looking at a semi-annual review to just keep that dialogue open. I mean, those seem like some great places to start, and it feels like getting the groups together would be the next best step. I mean, some of the suggestions around having the dog park manned permanently, you know, from getting the teams together to talk through that seems like a great thing to do, because that can be potentially an interesting and feasible idea to the Morro Bay Pups, who would have the responsibility to man it, or it may be really impractical. Maybe there's some ways to look at, you know, where are the peak hours of traffic when there's a lot of folks there, and maybe you look at manning it during those times. I mean, there's a lot of different ideas, and it feels like coming together and sitting down and really brainstorming with an open mind on how to tackle this. There's not going to be one golden solution here, right? I mean, it's just we're not going to get dogs not to bark. I think we understand that. But there's probably through a lot of different angles to this, the problem can get addressed, or at least heading in the right direction and not escalating. I mean, certainly that's a first step here. So I would hesitate to make any firm recommendations at this point, other than to make a recommendation for the teams to come together, take the list of ideas that were gathered tonight, both that Mike and Jeannie shared, and also that Morro Bay Pups folks shared and other community members shared as ideas. Get that full list together and get the groups together to start walking through those and coming up with an action item around that list, and bring that back potentially, I mean, to a next meeting. And at that point, I think if we need the city council to or make recommendations for further actions with the city council, we do that.
Yeah, staff will be looking for recommendations this evening, so I can bring them to the council in October. So whatever list we generate, maybe if I don't get a complete list from the commission and you felt that some were worthy from some of the speakers this evening, I can solicit them and make sure that I wrote them down correctly. But so far, I understand that some of the recommendations that you'd be bringing forward to council would be to look at more of an enforcement presence, whether it's a staff, police volunteer, or something with some authority. Would go out there and maybe have it. Maybe the first time they go out, we get citations where there's actually a letter of warning that goes before you get a citation. The administrative citation works like that. Yeah. And right now, I'm the only one in our department that's signed up and legally can do the size of the fence on the west side or the north end. It's certainly feasible. I don't have the authority to approve that. It would be a modification of our permit. We would want to go to the Planning Commission to get approval to amend that. And whether it's increase the height from 5 to 6 to 8 feet, and maybe there's something that's attached to it that would be a sound barrier, I don't know of any product out there, but I would imagine there is something out there that could be affixed to a fence that since it's not a view corridor, I mean, we opened it up, something that you wouldn't see if you were looking from the east side to the west side. So that's certainly a possibility.
Could we just suggest some mass plantings of shrubs and trees through there so you don't have to go through a commission? I mean, you guys could do that on your own, right?
Well, we could plant shrubberies and we planted some trees in there, but they're obviously trees that are going to be slow growing and not much for sound barrier, more of a visual. When the canopy gets there, will be some sound that gets reduced. But it's in the immediate vegetation. I'd want to consult with other parts of my staff to make sure that we're addressing all aspects of the park. I mean, it's a large park, and there's a reason why there's open turf areas in parks, because that's what attracts participants and attendees to these parks, so they can play frisbee or soccer, or actually there's a volleyball court that's right next to the dog park there as well. So there's other activities that may be curtailed in the planning of masses amounts of shrubbery, yeah, or whatnot, but it would be something we would certainly want to consider. It would be on my list as a recommendation if that's what I'm hearing. It's something that you want to add to the recommendation on a list that goes to council, I certainly want to bring that forward.
I mean, it seems like investigating how effective sound barrier, I mean, you know, how effective a solution of planting trees can be to the sound is something that, again, we could make a recommendation for that wouldn't necessarily be something that the pups and the neighbors would, you know, they might come to the same conclusion, and we'd like to just get that those things in motion. I mean, I think that's one that we could offer up just the same as enforcement. Another one might be around the signs at the park as a whole, because, I mean, I've observed, I was at the park the other day, and there's dogs off leash, and there's dogs barking that aren't in the park itself. So the hardworking Morro Bay Pups group that have done an awesome job making this fabulous park, the neighbors may be hearing also, again, people aren't, the dogs aren't even in the park. I mean, they're not in the dog park area, and that's sort of not a win-win for either group, right?
You're right on that one, yes.
So, how, you know, again, maybe some of the comments made today about looking at signage as a whole for the park and thinking through, do we have enough signage there that would at least deter? And again, the question of whether signage is super effective, I can anybody here answer it?
I think that certain signs are effective. I think what we have now is not effective. I should say it could be more effective than it is now. I apologize.
So what is
what we have there does hit some people. But
the signage just at the dog park itself?
It's at the dog park itself.
Or is it at the entrances?
We are working on some to improve our signage up on the both parking lots. One of our ideas was an open and close. When it's inclement weather, we'll be closing the park temporarily. So we want to make sure that when people come into the parking lot, they'll know, hey, it's open or it's closed, so they can either go down and participate or turn around and find an alternative. We would want to add to that location some signage about putting your dog on a leash. And whether that's a picture, whether that's some narrative, maybe it's both, we're not too sure. And that's where the effectiveness comes in. What is it? Is it a 3-foot picture, or is it a one-foot picture with a bunch of narratives? And we could also cite the city ordinance as far as dogs. And I brought that with me. It's kind of lengthy, but it might be something that would be like, hey, it's so much on here, and it's so much the law that why wouldn't you stop and read it? And it's if you get into it, it's rather lawfully written.
Well, it's been my experience that signs are generally, you know, they're informational, and people, you know, hopefully comply with them. But for people doing the enforcement, they have to say, well, didn't you see that sign out in front, you know? And then the person's kind of dead in their tracks, and, oh, I'm sorry, and we won't do that again. So they're a necessary evil to get the information out there and kind of, you know, passively enforce what's needed out there.
We do have signs that as soon as you walk into the gate, like this particular one that was said it was ridiculous. It's not ridiculous, because when you open the gate, this is what you see right in front of you. You also see what side the small dog park is on, and you see what side the large dog park is on. Some people do read signs. The majority of our dog group do read it, and we have a bulletin board in the back. But I've seen people that you have a big sign where the mutt mitts are and the big large tree is, that you see a dog pooping with a cross on it. And you still see people not picking up after themselves. We take the responsibility to do it for the simple reason that we want to look good, and we're doing the best. And as far as having a sign, no dog barking, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. Dogs can't read. It has to be the owner that says, you know, spray them with water. And we even have little spray bottles to spray them on the face when they start barking. One of the dogs named Finley, he used to bark a lot. The owner, we finally got him to use the spray bottle. Finley doesn't bark that much, I'm happy to say.
May I make a comment, please, Chair? Commissioner A, you've been using the word we again, and I want to make sure that there's clarification that you're representing the Recreation Parks Commission and not the Morro Bay Pups as you're seating.
Right.
Thank you.
I apologize for that. I'll try not to use we.
Okay.
Let me just add a piece there. I mean, coming back to this, it sounds like the rules for the broader park would be important to look at, and I guess the question is, do we agree that that's a recommendation we'd want to put forth to say, go evaluate the broader park rules, make sure that the entrances have adequate messaging, and, you know, engage Morro Bay Pups for input on that. because they're as much at stake for this as anyone. They want to see and do everything that they can to make it successful, as they've shared tonight. Get input from the residents and consider, basically make a recommendation to look at signage on the park as a whole that addresses both dog issues and anything else. I mean, when's the park open? Those kinds of things that could potentially at least minimize, again, some of the things of having a dog at 7:15 in the park, whatever.
Right, and have enough enforcement, even if it's just writing warnings. I mean, I'm not suggesting everybody get a ticket, that people go, you know, I'm not gonna go there and be unruly. Just like the highway patrol car you see every day. You don't speed because you know he's out there. So if there's some enforcement, even if it's just, you know, the little warning cards, or, you know, and explain to them that if their dog is a continuous nuisance, they could be banned. So Morro Bay doesn't really even issue dog licenses, does the city? So it's not like we can take their dog license away. But anyway, yeah, I think if we work at it, we can come to a better situation than we're at now.
Do we have any other recommendations? Sounds like we have a set of recommendations that we would like to take forward to, and I know you'll review those for us in just a second, to the City Council. Do we have anything else we haven't voiced that we'd like to see happen before we let Joe try to assimilate the inputs?
Is the park actually ever, the dog part of the park ever actually physically locked? Okay.
Yes, we have locked the dog park on occasions for when it's been really rainy and it gets really muddy. It's a kind of a drainage swell. They didn't get really prime real estate, so there's a drainage swell in there. When that gets too wet, then we'll close the park down. And I'll have to say this. When we did this for the very first time, we had a couple of snafus, and folks were like, hey, what's going on? Went all the way out to the dog, Family Dog Park, pardon me, and it was locked. And so the second time around when we did this, we notified the pups. They have a member that has a listserv that sent out a big notice to everybody, which was great. And we are certainly working on getting some notices through our Recreation and Parks Department. We have a website, and through our website you can sign up for Notify Me. And anything that we post that's related to the dog park or recreation parks, you get notified. So you'll know when the dog park closes and when we plan on reopening it, if it's an inclement weather or if it's a maintenance issue. Now we've got a big tree limb down on the fence. So we know about that, everybody. And we'll be addressing that probably tomorrow.
But does the Morro Bay Pups ever offer free dog training? I mean, that's, you know... Well, yes,
The dog obedience classes that we've had in the past have been a fee-based, and right now we don't have an instructor. Okay. And right now classes, I don't believe, are offered anywhere.
All right.
Through our department or through the Morro Bay Pups.
So I bet most of the problem is the owners, not the dogs.
Do we have any other recommendations before we let Joe recap what he's heard?
And so the list that I've compiled is quite a few, kind of randomly throughout different speakers tonight. So am I asked to compile a list of suggestions or recommendations based on some of the speakers and the commission, or strictly from what you've told me?
I think what the commission has, I mean, maybe what we can do, because we're going to need to get a motion from someone, so it's really a matter of...
Maybe I can go through my list, and if I'm off, say no, and if I'm in, you say yes, that's in.
And we can, we're just going to have to call it on the spot here, so.
So, review of the hours that the off-leash dog park is open, knowing that won't curtail anybody with the dog coming into the park, because all of our city parks are open from 7 a.m. until dusk. So if the dog park was open at 9, you'd have to walk your dog outside the dog park, which is a little bit counterproductive. That's why we felt closer to 7 would be better, but there's a monitoring thing there. So if we want to review the hours, we'll keep that on there. Increase enforcement through either city staff or police volunteers.
It could be other, I mean, just to throw out, maybe there's another solution. I mean, you can have, again, there's high school kids that need community service, and there's, I don't think we want to pigeonhole our way into that, what the answer is, but put it forth that enforcement, evaluating an enforcement method.
Well, this is daytime hours. I mean, I don't think that the Morro Bay Police Department is really busy during daytime.
I'd be careful. They're there to serve and protect.
They'd love to go up there and visit.
24/7.
They're waiting for you right outside the door right now.
Well, they are extremely.
Well, I know not to run a stop sign downtown, so I'd know better than to have my dog barking at the dog park, you know, if the presence
sure.
was
right.
there.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's the reality of it.
Their resources are limited. They have priorities that change every day, and some days their priorities might be not as urgent as others, but they certainly have
sure.
quite the workload.
Right.
So I wouldn't discount that at all. And I was looking more, that's why I was leaning more towards either a police volunteer action or even a.
Yeah.
Just call it enforcement and let, you know, I mean.
We call it enforcement, we can move on.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct, yeah. They do
also
great volunteers.
We were also interested in recommending the modification of the fence, particularly on the north side. That was brought up at public comment, and if the commission would like me to keep that on.
What was that anyway? I don't think I.
The fence line on the west, on the north side, right now, I believe it's at 5 foot. It could be increased to either.
So what does that do, though? Heightening the fence? Heightening
the fence would help you fix something that would be sound resistant or absorbent to the fence. That would be also water resistant or weather resistant.
So it's not just taking the open fence and extending it up. It's actually potentially including a sound barrier.
Actually, modifying the fence could do a host of different things. You could look at increasing the height. You could change the material. Chain link.
No.
And if it went to a cinder block, you'd be moving that sound somewhere. It wouldn't be going across the creek. So those things are serious changes to the existing park, and they would have to have some you know, review, obviously, through staff and some investigations, and then probably come back to you for a review before it went to the Planning Commission.
What do you guys think about letting the pups and neighborhood kind of walk through that one and see if there's any, you know, research that...
Right. Perhaps one of Joe's staff could see if there is a product that's a viable option. If there's no option, there's no point in extending the fence.
Sure.
But do you want it? Should we put that on the staff, or should we let the...
Well, I think staff would be more suited for that at this point, just to see if there's something that exists that's not, you know, economically unfeasible. The cinder brick wall would be, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, unfortunately.
Yeah, that would
be. You know, maybe there's a weave, or maybe there's some rubber matting or something. You know,
I think what
we're
the,
probably not the first people to have had this
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, there's... Sound is dispersed in different layers, so the more different layers
right.
that you have of something will diffuse the sound, not just
right.
one thing. And a lot of the sound repressed stuff on the freeways and stuff are actually different layers inside those walls there that hold the
right.
vibrations
yeah.
of the sound. But I don't know if we want to get into the wall.
Technical. Yeah.
The great wall behind the dog park.
Yeah, they can get rather pricey, too, but we certainly keep that on the list as a recommendation to look at. Also, your recommendation to council would be to look at improving or increasing shrubbery or some vegetation to help knock down some of the noise. And that was certainly, and it actually was one of the recommendations to the UC Davis survey information. So you're right on line with that solution. You're also recommending that we meet with Island Street people, pups. Island Street people and staff to moderate some kind of a meeting to enhance the communication and dig for more solutions.
Dig for more solutions.
Some of the other items that were brought forward would be to only have a directed dog park as opposed to a self-directed dog park, and that is a big move. And I mean by that, by a directed dog park would mean a monitor would come and open and then lock up when they're done, or if it's self-directed like it is now, which is open and it's the attendee would have to obey by the rules of the hours of the park and the rules of the park, but they're not directly supervised. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Who would be locking the park and who would be unlocking the park?
Well, those would be details that we would have to work on as we progress to the recommendation. If it's a recommendation to have a monitored park or a non-monitored park, certainly something that I'd be looking for direction here.
It sounds like we need some monitoring going on there.
We have monitoring now through the Morro Bay Pups, but we don't have... We're not requiring them to be there daily,
okay.
nor
okay.
are we requiring them to open and close the park. we're having. They're just going in there and monitoring just to keep things rolling. We would be looking at putting, I wouldn't say burden, because I don't know what the depth of the Morro Bay Pups and their membership is, but asking them to come out daily to open and close that park is quite a responsibility.
I mean, that's a topic I feel that group can, you know, just this meeting discussion could look at that specifically and see if there's, you know, I mean, come up with some thoughts around what would be beneficial. Having somebody there babysitting the park all day probably isn't a great use of time. And again, there may be peak hours, and maybe those groups can come together with some more refined recommendations around that concept. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree.
Is there any way we can also maybe get some use figures out there of what's actually going on out there, and maybe a little bit more of the noise evaluation from staff when they're out there?
A usage report, is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
So maybe we had a sign-in log where you go there, you sign your name, you're in?
I don't know how to... mathematically averaged. I mean, that's how they do things like that. But, I mean, what kind of volume? I mean, how many visitors are we seeing at the park there a day? Is it 100? Is it 200? Is it 300?
Well, we based the numbers in the initial planning stages at 50 visitors a day. And I couldn't tell you. I'm not out there head counting, so I couldn't tell you. It would be more of a thing that we could come back after we've met, if we did a three-way meeting with the pups and the citizens.
I just think that it would be a good piece of information if it's designed for 50 people and we're getting 100 users out there a day, that could be problematic.
Mm-hmm. And time of day, too, I think is relevant here. I mean, we're covering a long period of time, and if there's peak times, maybe some things, you know, additional things are done during those peak times. I don't know. But
I don't think there's 100 there a day.
I'm not suggesting that there is, but I'd like to know how many there are, suggesting.
Do you know when it usually is busier? It's in the afternoon after all the young people get off work. Because the retirees go at different times, usually around 10 o'clock. And when the younger people that are working, you know, picking up their kids and everything, it's usually in the afternoon. And it could be like 25 people. Not all on one side, but, you know, at one time.
So it sounds like we're saying, like, let's try to gather some data, and then you guys can figure out how to go about it.
That won't be a recommendation to council. I'm looking for things to go forward to work on this. I can certainly include that if you'd like me to. But one of the last thing on my list was signage. I want us to improve some signage, make it more permanent, more prominent as well.
In the park as a whole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I missed anything. That's what I have. Some of them were all kind of overlaid, so I kind of wrapped it up in that. There was some other ones that were mentioned.
The evaluation, I think a semi or annually evaluation of the site would be...
So you recommend that we increase it from once every 2 years right now, what's the condition from Planning Commission? We'd ask the council to increase that to biannual or an annual?
I think an annual would be...
The recommendation from public comment was a biannual. Right now you're pretty close to that.
I mean, the park is still in its early life, so maybe biannual makes sense now, but maybe 2 years from now, every year, every 2 years, fine. I mean, it can always be amended, just if there's a preference.
So I'm hearing the commissioner's recommendation is annual. Mm-hmm. Is that what I hear?
I
think annual would be good.
Okay.
During the winter, it's not used that much. Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with the annual, sounds
fine. And a couple other ones you might want to just give me a nod or a heads up on. There was a talk about banning unneutered male dogs from the off-leash dog area.
I believe they have that, don't they?
We can flush that one out if you'd like us to, and see if that's in our. I don't recall that specific verbiage in in our rules and regulations, but we can review that one. And we'll certainly have something in our report as we go forward with the council on that.
Maybe that just can go into the atypical bad dog scenario there.
Yeah, well, I do have evaluate the rules and the content, and so that would be certainly a rule, and we could include or not. So I will include it in there. Anything else you'd like me to include in your recommendation? We'd certainly be looking for a motion sometime regarding this process,
right,
and a second, and a motion that explains what we're going to bring forward.
Okay, so can someone prepare a motion? You can reference what the ones that Joe outlined versus having to repeat them all.
I'd like to motion Joe's outline for council.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None.
I just recap,
we give you enough?
I just recap that by saying you will be moving forward rules, enforcement, usage report, signage, and evaluation.
That's good.
What, say that one more time.
There are rules, enforcement, usage report, signage, evaluation, hours.
Sound barrier.
And I had fence and vegetation. So I'll have all those.
Okay. So the recommendation to get the groups together is actually just for staff, right? That doesn't go to the council?
Correct.
Yes. Got it?
Okay.
Okay. Anything else on item B1? Okay, let's move to C, unfinished business. C1, we have none. D, new business, Recreation and Park Department program evaluations.
Thank you, Chair Hale. And Commission, one more time, we've got D1. Which is a Recreation Parks Program Evaluation. I will start with Kids Club 2010. Kids Club for 2010, program costs were a total of $148,000. Tuition revenues were $152,000. Gross revenues were $3,945. Cost recovery for this program was 102%. We add in our cost recovery program, our support costs, which is a cost allocation of $17.08 per child to process registration, includes advertisement, and so forth. And that's on an average of 50 children. So this is pretty much of a guesstimate on the cost allocation. And I bring that for this reason. It's $33,306. That brings your net revenues down to a negative $29,000, which is a cost recovery 84%. Again, this is targeted at 70 to 79% cost recovery program. Summary, basically, I want to get into just a little bit of the dog park. I've got been speaking dog park for, I think, 2 hours. I apologize. Kids Club. And it's located at Del Mar Park, and it's open every day from 7 until 6 p.m., every school day, that is. And this is a licensed, state of California licensed daycare program, child care program, and they do much more than child care. This is child enrichment. There's much more programs and much more energy that goes into caring for your child, promoting healthy living and lifestyles and so forth, as opposed to just babysitting. Some of the daily activities offered that are essential for children to grow and be productive members of society. Opportunities for these kids to go on special trips, field trips, such as the bike safety check and parade from the Morro Bay Police, which is awesome. Field trip to the Morro Bay Farmers Market. They had Patriots Day, Creepy Crawlers and Farm Animal Day, which is over at El Choro National Outdoor School. Fire safety and fire truck tour at the fire station. They explored the tide pools at North Point. So really you can see that this group is, the Kids Club isn't just hanging out in a classroom. They go out and they're really experiencing our community and all of the amenities that we have here. We had Dr. Seuss Day and Recycle Day, and we celebrated Earth and Arbor Day. And we also participated in the Mermaid and Pirate Parade, which is pretty crazy, down at the Rock. We have online tuition that goes on for this program, and that's helped reduce some of our rates. And I'm hoping that, and, you know, I've talked about this for months now, that our cost allocation seems to be a little bit high. We're trying to reduce that, and sooner than later, hopefully, we'll get a new study in to help out. That concludes the report for Kids Club 2010. My next evaluation, any questions on Kids Club?
I will say on this, on the Kids Club, they do a beautiful job because I see the kids coming and going to, especially when they go to North Point, they have them all in a row and they're all lined up and they're all talking and singing, and the teachers that they have are very young and they're wonderful kids.
Thank you. And those teachers are the students and the youth of our community, and if we can give them their first job and teach them the responsibility of having that job and then caring for other little ones, it just, the whole community perpetuates in a positive direction, and that's part of our mission. So thanks for pointing that out. The next program I'd like to highlight would be the 2010 Estero Bay Youth Futsal Indoor Soccer. Had 116 kids, boys and girls, this go-around. That's from April till June. It's a great time for the kids to get inside and maybe out of the wind and play a little indoor soccer. It's non-competitive. It's a ton of fun. We don't keep any standings. And every kid just comes out with a smile on their face. It's just wonderful. We had no injuries this year to report, which is dynamite. The direct costs for this program are $7,000. 95 cents. Support costs, we calculated those at $10 per participant. That's $1,600 in support costs. Total program support, $8,600. Revenues for this program were $7,800. So the net loss was just under $800, which is right at about 91% cost recovery. The program is scheduled to be at 70 to 79% cost recovery. We would be at 91 with this. Staff has made some recommendations for next year. I'd open up any questions regarding futsal at this time. Seeing none, I will move on to the next program, which is the 2010 Brian Waterbury Memorial Rock to Pier Run. That was on July the 17th. Terrific turnout, 1,200 runners, which is just dynamite. This is the 41st running of the Brian Waterbury Memorial Rock to Pier Run. We did have some music by the Mud Skippers, which was just dynamite. They're going to be playing. They play before the run and after the run. And special thanks to Shoreline Calvary Chapel that they prepared all the breakfast for us, for all the runners. So every runner that came in got a hot breakfast. And when they jumped off the bus, they were first in line. And the next bus was first in line again. So there was no waiting at the breakfast, and it was delicious. And this is the second year running. Other support came from the Kitspin Culligan Water, who were very gracious in providing us water every year. A trailer stage by Mike Burton Trucking and Grading Backhoe Service. We always thank Mike. He's been terrific, not only in softball, but also in this Rock to Pier Run. Jamba Juice provided some of the samples at the finish line. And Elemental Herbs provided lip balm. I want to make a special note that Elemental Herbs actually produces their product at our kitchen at the community center. And was about, I think, 6 to 8 months ago, Carolina Duell was here, and she was the business of the night for the council. So it's really exciting to see someone that we know on a daily basis actually come through, and she actually provided us with all this lip balm, which is just terrific.
And they have a lovely spray for recovery, too. So
they
actually have products very applicable to runners. Yeah.
So we love that. So to get into a little bit more detail, Justin Coburn from Clovis won the race at 33 minutes and 54 seconds, overall men's winner. And the overall female winner was Rosemarie Lugones from Los Osos, and she was at 39:49. She was a great running. Expenses for the run, they're all detailed for you, and I'll come to the bottom line, which was to include the cost allocation, $26,404. Revenues came from active.com, which we love, and that's helping us reduce our cost allocation because we're not processing those. People are registering online. It was $16,300. Race day, we brought in about $8,800, and then we had pre-registration at $7,300. So total revenues for the program to include sponsors, which we had $533,005, cost recovery at $125,000, net profit $6,601. Terrific job by all the staff that was involved, as well as all the volunteers that came through. Always a special appreciation for all the sponsors and those who come through. So thanks again. You'll see a list of our recommendations. I'd open up to any questions at this time.
Questions?
Yeah. That's a world-class event.
Yeah, keeps growing. It's great.
I got one more program evaluation, and thank you for your patience this evening. This last one is the Labor Day Classic, which is a softball tournament. It was held on Labor Day weekend, obviously, and there was 24 teams, two of which were Central Coast, 22 teams from out of the area, which is dynamite for us. We always want to boost when we have softball tournaments with the majority of the teams from out of the area. We feel that we're contributing to the TOT tax and the sales tax, as those folks are staying overnight, probably at least one, if not two nights. Team Narco from Farmsville defeated Touch 'Em All from Visalia. A big score at the end of the game, 36-21. This is an unlimited home run tournament. Some of our tournaments we have limited home runs, and that makes it for a little bit more competition. But there was 390 home runs hit that weekend, which is dynamite. Expenses for this program are outlined in your sheet, and the direct cost totaled $5,472. The support cost allocation is $504, and this particular program has an indirect cost for a light surcharge, which all teams pay for our lighting deferred maintenance account. Total expenses $6,492. Registration fees to include T-shirts, sales $7,170. Cost recovery 110%, and net revenues $677. Again, terrific job by staff, long weekends. So when they're out there all weekend, they take the weekdays off, so there's a little bit more trouble on the home front. But we get through it because we know the benefit of this particular tournament. We have another one coming up, which is Oktoberfest, and we're looking to get a pretty good sellout crowd there too as well. So that concludes this report. I'd be happy to answer any questions on Labor Day Classic.
Nope.
Questions? Okay.
And that concludes my reports for program evaluations. I'd be looking for a motion to accept them for file, please.
I'd like to motion that we accept them for file.
All in favor?
No, second.
Aye. Sorry.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Moving on to D2, looks like we need to shore up our days for our meetings in November and December.
Yes, since you've moved your meeting to the fourth Tuesday of the month, which has been working out. We have a quorum tonight, which is terrific. But as we look at the calendar ahead, we're getting close to Thanksgiving in November and very close to December. And I've outlined some of the protocols. If you do want to deviate from your regularly scheduled meeting, the amendment procedure must be completed at a regularly scheduled meeting, which is now, seating a quorum and yielding a majority vote.
Okay, when's our November date?
Your November date is scheduled for the 23rd, which is the Tuesday prior to Thursday Thanksgiving. It's not a conflict with your meeting, but it is close, something that I wanted you to consider.
Anybody think they're going to be gone on that day, Tuesday before Thanksgiving?
No.
Don't plan on being gone.
I hope not.
And then let's put out the December date for us.
Staff will be present for the November date. December date is scheduled for the 28th.
Yeah, that's probably date. We probably
that's
think
right
about
right
that.
Right
date.
Between.
Yeah. Do we typically do December, or do we usually?
We typically do
on
December because we were the first Thursday of the month. So we were out for the first, second, or third, we were done. This particular meeting in December, staff will be out of the office and actually out of the area.
What do we have coming on the agenda? I mean, could it be one where we agree to skip December and pick up again in January?
It might be one that you do that. You typically have skipped January's meeting. In the past, because it's been so close to New Year's.
What if we did it the other way around? Skip December and pick up in January?
Sounds good.
Great idea.
That sounds like a good idea. So we'd have to be looking for a motion and approval of the meeting for December to be changed, then revisit November. Or you can do them both at once, either way.
Make a motion that we have it in January and cancel December.
you want to add to that, sticking with our November 23rd, or is there, did you have time?
November 23rd is the day before Thanksgiving?
No, it's 2 days before.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry.
It would be the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, though, one way or the other.
You wouldn't need to mention anything about regular scheduled meetings in January because they're already scheduled.
Yes.
It's 2 days before Thanksgiving.
November's already scheduled, too, so we just got to say we're going to cancel December, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
But I would want to make sure that if we've outlined November, December, we can make a motion that says we'd like to keep November as is and cancel December. That would be your prerogative.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I make a motion that we keep November and cancel December meeting.
All in favor?
I second it.
I'm sorry. I keep jumping ahead.
It's okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? No. Nay. Okay. Declaration of future agenda items. Anyone want to tee anything up for a future meeting? No? All right. Then meeting is adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.